you stay. I can make you afraid. I can make you gay. I can make you ugly. I can make you afraid. I will make you obey. Like a triple corner fashion. Look away.
Why do I keep doing that? There's no more Broadway. Broadway is dead. You hear me?
I live off of Broadway.
Everybody out there, hear me? Broadway is fucking dead. 2020 is fucking dead.
I technically live on Broadway.
Oh, now. My apologies then.
It's alive.
I may have gotten a little heated about it. What?
A little bit.
Hey, it's Podzilla 1985. It's Podzilla After Dark. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. With me is Mr. Broadway, Jesse Kimball.
Oh, hold on one second here. Hater, ho dare, 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 hater, ho dare.
All right, here's what I think.
Ho dare.
Here's what I think. Either Shelby's a snitch or Jesse was there. Which is it?
Neither. I could hear, like, the door was open. I could hear you from outside of the room, loud and clear.
I think you just gave Hunter a stroke.
So. Yeah, because also the phrase is "Hey dare, ho dare."
Also, I'm drunk now.
That was fast.
I was about to say, for everybody in their shitty little drinking game, have at it.
I didn't say it on the air.
I will continue to say "Hey dare, ho dare" because it's for Kevin, and I love Kevin, and he's the MVP.
He always will be with us tonight as well, Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hi.
The stone cold sober Tanner Calvert.
I am 100% sober. I'm drinking coffee even.
Oh, I have to question what kind of coffee are you drinking?
Toasted white chocolate frappuccino.
Sounds fancy. And with us once again this week, Shelby Jackson.
Hello.
Didn't think you'd come back, did you?
I'm still here.
Literally, she hasn't moved from that spot. She's been waiting an entire week to get back on the show. And I, so you know what? I'm going to say it now. I love the dedication. I appreciate it. I wish more people on the cast was like that.
Yeah, she's got Animal Crossing to keep her occupied for that length of time. It's fine.
There's some.
I wish more people would join the show after being invited instead of inviting themselves.
I'm just proud of her. But there are some women on this show that haven't been on in months. Where the hell are they?
Yeah, Mandy.
Mandy has talked about it. Yeah, she just doesn't like want to get her computer like out and I guess to get microphones and stuff up. Plus, apparently she's thought every Thursday show that we've done since the pandemic has had at least 6 people on it.
No, that's the Friday show.
That's what I told her.
Yeah, Friday is the goddamn
motherfucking Saturday.
Train ride. No, Shannon, there is no Saturday show. Except when there is. But there isn't. But there might be. I don't know. How are you guys?
I'm okay.
Confused.
Doing all right.
Excited about the damn topic tonight. I gotta tell you that much.
Well, Tanner, good, I'm glad you brought the topic up, Tanner, because go ahead, Lindsay, tell us what the top 5 for the night is.
So tonight's top 5 is our top 5 favorite documentaries. Yay, I said it right.
The documentaries.
Yes.
And I'm gonna be completely honest with y'all. I gotta have 6. Sorry.
I mean, that's fine. I have more than 5 on my list, and I'm just going to narrow it as I go.
Well, Tanner, if you've got 6, I'll have 9.
I managed to think of 5 documentaries that I have watched. I'm just not a big documentary guy.
Look, she said, it may be a little hard. You know, Tanner may have liked this topic tonight. Let me tell you how much Tanner likes this topic tonight. I have a Roku TV, and I have 10 different apps that are strictly documentaries.
Nice. Tanner, I don't know. Just me personally, sometimes I just want to learn, even if it's something that I already know about.
Lindsay, I hate to cut you off.
Uh-huh. And?
I just hate to cut you off. I'm sorry.
You're such a liar.
Comedy. Real quick, on a special note, if you listen to last night's show, I do want to apologize. There were some audio issues with Hunter because he had a moment where his audio messed up. He told me about it, but I was under the impression he meant there was just a part where he was silent. I did not know there was a part where it cut out completely. So I've been told it's a little messed up. The bad part is I had already deleted all the files, so there's no way I can fix it. So it is what it is. I apologize.
I have not listened to it yet.
It's pro wrestling and scripted. I don't expect you to, but I do want
to. I listen to your show. Thank you.
I do want to make a mention. Shut your mouth. I do want to make a mention real quick.
God that damn.
We had a discussion last night on the show, and I'm going to put everyone here to the test real quick. I don't want anyone else saying it yet, because I think Tanner. Have you listened to it yet?
Dude,
last night's show.
You? No.
Okay, then maybe no one knows it. What is the name of Chun-Li's most recognized move in Street Fighter?
Son of a bitch. Jesus I actually Christ. Used to know this.
It was the spinning bird kick or something.
It was the spinning bird kick. Here's why I mention it, because they were talking about last night about how they're waiting for Daniel Bryan's daughter, Birdie, to grow up so she can be a wrestler and she can wrestle The Rock or something. And I mentioned I wait for it so she can use her finishing move, the spinning birdie kick. No reaction. No one left because no one knew that it was called the spinning bird kick. And that offended me. So what I did, Tanner, do you know what I did?
You messaged a friend, I'm assuming.
I texted my good friend Dolph Ziggler, WWE superstar, and I asked him to please confirm that the rest of the cast of PW are disappointments and that he knew Chun-Li's finishing move or her special move. And I texted him like 20 minutes before we ended the show, and I was hoping he would get back to me before the show was over because I wanted to rub it in their faces, but he texted me like 5 minutes afterwards. So just for the record, Dolph Ziggler, personal friend, does know the spinning bird kick and does think that the rest of the cast of PW are disappointments, everyone but me. And I didn't put it on my Snapchat, but he said especially Dalton. So just wanted to throw that out there real quick. Did no one else know? Lindsay, how did you know it? You don't even know it. Did you read like the PW blurb or something?
No, I was sitting with you when you were giving them crap about it, remember?
You were here last night.
I stopped by after work, but you were still recording for like another like 30 minutes afterwards.
Man, I've been losing long tracks of time lately.
I did think it funny though when I left, when I was out in the hallway, your neighbors across the hall were clearly playing Street Fighter because I just kept hearing Hadouken.
It's better than hearing their dog barking all the time. I really got to stop doing heroin.
You never started.
I picked a bad week to stop sniffing glue, everybody.
That I might believe.
No, I don't have any glue. Also, hey, do you have any cheese?
Yes, I do.
Like bagged cheese?
I do.
All right, I'm going to talk to you after the show.
Okay.
Jesse, let's talk about some news.
Oh boy, I love news.
Do you want to start with the motherfucker of the week?
Sure, yeah, let's hit it. Who you
got? The motherfucker of the week. There you go. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Yes.
Epic Games.
You for the Fortnite stuff?
You motherfuckers. Yeah, so here's what Epic Games did. Epic Games, they have a contract with both Google, I think it's Play Store, I don't know the official name, and Apple to put Fortnite on mobile devices. So you can get it on the Play Store, you can get it on Apple, you know, iPhones, what is it called? iTunes? Is that it?
The Apple App Store.
App Store.
There you go. Okay. I'm out of touch with the youth today. But they put it on there, and they sell V-Bucks, which is the currency for Fortnite. Of course, Epic Games are the people behind Fortnite. And many other games, too, but no one gives a shit about that anymore. It's just Fortnite. Well, they put the V-Bucks on there. I believe it's $9.99, and you can get a certain amount of V-Bucks. And of that, they pay a percentage. I forget what the percentage is to Apple.
It is 30%, if I recall correctly, of all like microtransactions in game go to the Apple App Store.
Okay, and same thing to Google. I'm sure they have a percentage that they take out.
Google is similar, but I don't think it's as much.
So what Epic Games decided to do is they opened up a new way to pay for V-Bucks that goes directly to them. For cheaper, it's $7.99 as opposed to $9.99.
Yeah, they offer you. Yeah, it's a 20% discount because that is 20% is like they still get more money basically.
Right.
Instead of giving 30% to Apple, they're giving 10% to themselves, the user, 20% to the user, however you want to phrase it.
But what's that in itself doesn't upset me because like I've heard before that Apple is pretty. You know, it's bad when it comes to content creators. You know, it's not a great deal for them. A lot of those companies kind of, they take their cut. But, I mean, that's business. If you sign the contract and you agree that they're going to take their cut, then you signed the contract and you agreed that they're going to take their cut. What upsets me about this is Epic Games went behind Apple's back. They went behind Google's back. They decided to offer this money, or, you know, these V-Bucks for a cheaper price without consulting, breaking their contract, basically. And what happened? Apple sued them. Or no, Apple, sorry.
No, yeah, Apple removed them.
Apple removed them, as did Google Play Store. So yes, they both removed them. If you have the game right now, you can still play it. But if you want to get it, or if it comes time to update it for the new seasons, you will be unable to play it from now on. So Epic Games, in return, decided to sue. And that is where we are now. They are suing Apple and Google to get their stuff put back on. And what really upsets me about this situation, the reason I think they're the motherfuckers of the week, is the way they have tried to portray themselves as the plucky underdog being bossed around by these big evil corporations. They actually had a protest video ready to go the very next day that was spoofing one of Apple's previous ads from the 80s where they were standing up to IBM. And the irony isn't lost on me, but Epic Games is not a plucky underdog. They themselves are a huge business that brings in a shit ton of revenue. They're not a mom and pop shop that's being bullied by big corporations. They are a big corporation. This is like if you're playing Final Fantasy VII, this is Shinra going against Shinra. They're not good guys, Jesse, but they're portraying themselves as good guys.
Yeah, and I will say, like, in fairness to them, like, they actually do kind of have a case for suing Apple. The idea is that if companies can offer, or like I guess app developers can offer in-game purchases or in-app purchases that don't go through the Play Store, if those purchases can be used on other devices. So, for example, if you have like the Kindle app, the Amazon Kindle app on your iPhone or your Android phone, you can buy Kindle books straight through Amazon without having to deal with in-app purchases. By doing so, or you can do so because you can access those on different devices, like on an actual like Kindle or on your desktop computer. So the idea is here, you can actually now sync all of your Fortnite stuff across every platform.
Yeah.
So you can buy V-Bucks on your, you know, phone and then redeem them on your console.
So yeah, that's been a major issue since Fortnite came out, because I was playing it across three different platforms when it first started getting popular. And I would have, just in free V-Bucks that I had earned on the Xbox, I'd have enough to pay for a whole another season pass. So I would sign on to my same Epic's account on the PlayStation, and I have nothing. None of my skins, none of my credits, nothing. And it was a kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, so they changed a little while ago now where everything is synced. It's all, like, everything is all together, like, tied by your account on every platform. So, yeah, that's their argument. You can buy V-Bucks and you can spend it somewhere else. So, technically, inside their own rules, what they're doing is legal. Oh, no, I think that everybody sucks here. I think that charging people 30% for in-app purchases is ridiculous. And I think that Epic Games is, I don't know, like, portraying themselves as some kind of, like, hero of the people, but I don't think they're that either. They just want, you know, more money, I guess. Like, it's fine. Yeah, they all suck. They're all dumb. I don't care about the App Store. I don't care about Epic Games, so I don't really have an opinion on this one.
Yeah, for a company that has markets a completely free-to-play game, completely free-to-play, they're making money hand over fist off these V-Bucks and these kids, man.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Hey, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So,
were you gone?
Well, Jesse, remember when I said that I was afraid my headset was going to die?
Oh, yeah.
It did, and that's not a problem because I plugged in my wired headset, but the weird thing is when I turned off that headset, for some reason, Audacity switched my microphone from my Yeti over to the headset, which makes no sense. It's never done that before. So I had to stop the recording, switch it back, and then record again. So I myself will have a little gap here. Lindsay, don't let me forget that about 13 minutes in, I need to edit it.
Okay.
Ouch. So breaking news from Discord.
From Derek Boxdorfer.
President is counter-programming. Yeah. The president is counter-programming the DNC.
What does that mean?
I think basically he's broadcasting over them.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Lindsay, because that's also something we were going to talk about tonight, was the Democratic National Convention. So, all right. Where is he broadcasting it from, Tanner?
I'm looking it up now.
I'm going to go to Fox News, which is one of the only times I'll go to Fox News, because I feel like it'll be on there. I don't see it on there. So
basically Trump is trying to put like something on that people would watch instead of. And yeah, I think the easiest way to see this is to go right to Trump's Twitter account, because you know that he's tweeted about it.
I like that Tanner asked Derek to please cite his sauce. Sauce, please.
Maybe he just wants some sauce.
Oh, no,
I'll reply
to him. Tanner, looks like, you hungry?
It looks like the Sean Hannity is interviewing Trump tonight at 9 o'clock.
Oh, well, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, Fox News is the only place Trump will do interviews, except for that Axios interview, which I bet he really wishes he could get back.
I guess, importantly, 9 o'clock Eastern. I'm assuming that's what this is, so...
So it's already happening.
Yeah, so it's happening right now.
And I guess tonight is the last night of the... Yeah, tonight is the last night of the DNC. So yeah, that's going.
He officially accepts the nomination tonight, doesn't he?
No, that was last night.
He accepted last night. Yeah.
Okay. Him and Kamala.
Harris both. Yeah. Both accepted last night.
It's not surprising that Trump is going to do this. From what I understand, Trump is kind of livid about how much... attention the DNC has been getting, because it's been a pretty good event.
Well, of course, it's attention that's not going to him.
Well, that's not true.
He had a full-on Twitter tantrum today.
He's getting plenty of attention from this, just not the attention he wants. It's all negative. Former President Barack Obama obliterated him. Even Republicans were turning up to basically denounce Trump. John Kasich was at the DNC via, you know, because it's all virtual. They're not in person right now. John Kasich was on there, which is cool because I like John Kasich. I would have voted for him in the last election if he had won the Republican nomination instead of Donald fucking Trump. Please stop talking about food in the Discord. I keep getting a beep in my ear. Stop talking. Hold on. Stop talking. Okay. There.
The DNC just in general has had like a bunch of all-stars, even from the Republican Party, like John Kasich. John Kasich spoke out. They also had Colin Powell.
That's a big one for me, because I love that man.
Cindy McCain also showed up, had a little speech, and then the RNC is going to have such superstars as the racist couple from St. Louis standing out in front of their house with guns.
I like that. That's my favorite one. They might have Joe Exotic, because Joe Exotic has been really pushing for Trump to pardon him. And I truly believe that Donald Trump would pardon Joe Exotic and get him on there to start talking, just because he loves people that
love
him.
You know what the fucking scariest thing about that is? If he pardons him and he shows up at that convention, that's going to push people to vote for him even more, because people are fucking stupid.
Yeah, no, people are pretty fucking stupid. Because
some people thought that... Some people actually watched Tiger King and thought that he was the hero of the story.
Was the only,
well, I mean,
the only person that watched Tiger King and thought he was the hero of the story. His name, I believe, was Joe Exotic. Tiger King is one of those stories where there were no heroes. Everyone on that show was a piece of shit.
Yes, absolutely.
No, you'd be surprised how many people love that.
I love Joe Exotic,
too. I'm not surprised
too.
At all.
No, I mean...
He is gay.
Unhealthy.
He is broke as shit.
Damn it. Oh, so
I will never financially recover from this.
He put them balls in your face.
You got some law? You a lawsuit from some bitch down in Florida?
Yeah,
I gotta stop saying that because I sound too close to it.
There was go ahead. Then I got something else. I got something else.
Is it to do with the DNC?
Yeah.
Or what?
Well, it's to do with Trump. It's news that came out today that I want to talk about. But go ahead. I'll say
are you talking about Steve Bannon?
Well, stop spoiling the stories, Jesse!
Okay.
Motherfucking spoiler!
Yeah, we'll talk about Steve Bannon in a second. Go ahead, Tanner.
Well, I was just I didn't know if we had gotten to the motherfucker of the week, but...
Yeah, that was epic.
Yeah.
Why do you not pay attention, Tanner? That was Epic Games.
To be fair.
To be fair.
You know, I have nothing. I just wanted to say it. My counterpoint for Motherfucker of the Week, it was brought up in the group chat earlier, and I was going to bring this up beforehand.
That guy.
The Reds announcer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We broke that last night. I think it's, if you scroll up, we talked about it, too. His name is, what is it, Rasic McDickhead?
No.
Homophobic McDickhead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was definitely, I mean, it wasn't anything racist, but it was pretty bad.
It was very homophobic.
Very. That poor city.
It's anti-Kansas City.
Thom Brenneman? Is that his name?
Tom. It's spelled Tom T-H-O, but yeah, it's Tom.
Who was caught on a hot mic saying that, we're assuming he was talking about Kansas City. But
he was talking about Kansas City.
He said it was one of the F-star capitals of the world. And
it was.
He then apologized a little bit later.
It was the cigarette capital of the world. There you go.
And he apologized right in the middle of a home run. Apparently he was apologizing. The home run happened. He called the home run and then went back to apologizing.
I would like to apologize for the thing I said in the hot mic, and that ball was over the wall, home run for the Reds. I should never have said that. I'm like, wow, okay.
I don't think there's any coming back from that.
I'm very sorry that I got caught saying this on mic. That was unfortunate. I am never like this in public.
He will
only behind closed doors.
He will never financially recover from that.
No, he will not.
He will not.
Nobody's going to touch him. He was also an NFL announcer. Nobody's going to touch him after that.
It's funny, though, that a guy like this can... His career is hopefully ruined by him saying this. I remember a certain presidential candidate that was ruined for saying Biaw, yet our president has said the worst things in history and is still president. So, who the fuck knows?
It's my own personal motherfucker of the week. I'm not going to call them out by name because that's rude.
Steve, but Jake, Johnson, Jimmy.
There was a guy that I was talking to on Facebook. He's a man I've known for a real long time. Guy that I thought was real smart guy. Respected the hell out of him.
Can you just please tell me it's not...
No, it's definitely not.
Okay.
So anyway, I was talking to this guy. And, he was trying to convince me that, you know, stuff that Trump said is not that bad. The grab him by the pussy speech, he just, you know, that, like, he straight up hit me with, he was just bragging about what he does with Hollywood groupies.
Well, yeah, it's locker room talk.
No, so, my mother, and I'm not afraid to call her out on this because I don't care anymore. Because, my mother and my father like to actively try to bait me into political conversations knowing that I have completely opposite views of them. And my mother has been a Democrat since birth. Like, she was raised Satan himself ran the Democratic ticket, she would vote for him. That's exactly how they were raised. Damn it. So, but now she's pro-Trump. I'm like, look, this is one of the issues I have about him. Like, he's racist, and she's like, what do you mean? And I start giving off details and examples of his racism, and then I said he's sexist. And I was like, just for the simple fact that he said, you know, when you're rich, all you gotta do is walk up and grab him by the pussy. She goes, oh, what man hasn't said anything like that? And I looked at her, I go, me.
You hit her with it.
I did. That was the funniest thing about it. I actually hit her with me.
Because I always hear that, like, yeah, no, every guy talks like that. I'm like, I don't know anybody that does.
What you don't realize is that after Tanner said that to his mom, I was in the background and I said, lick himself!
That's for Hunter.
No. Yeah, I don't know many guys that... Actually, no, I do. I know guys that would talk like that. I 100% do. And you know who they are? Fucking privileged assholes. Not someone you want running the fucking country, that's for sure. But, you know, what
like,
do I know?
I get angry thinking about it because, like, here I am. I'm a father of a daughter. Once she gets old enough, this is an issue. Like, I have to worry about boys coming over the house. If I ever heard a man, boy, anyone say anything about that about my daughter, I'm going to prison.
Just promise me one thing. When she gets old enough to start dating, you're not going to be that guy that invites him in, has the shotgun there, is like, so, but my daughter, like, God damn it. That is such a fucking irritating cliche, and I'm sick of it. Am I the only one?
You don't think... Wait. You think I don't live that life, though?
Which lifestyle, Tanner?
Okay, so you have the dads who sit there and clean their gun, just try to be intimidating assholes. And then you have the dads that will live that life, we'll say.
All I'm saying is if I ever dated a girl and I walked in and her dad was cleaning a gun, I was like, what's your intentions with my daughter? I'm going to say not a goddamn thing, you fucking psycho motherfucker, and I would leave. That is so stupid. it's threatening a guy with a gun because he's taking your daughter out. Like, not, oh, it's okay. Maybe because I don't have a kid. I don't know. I'll give you that.
Like, it's a weird southern thing. Like, threatening, yeah, threatening.
Tanner and I from the same town.
Yes. The difference is, I don't plan on going, what are your intentions with my daughter? My intention is, they walks in, he just sees me cleaning the rifle. Hey, how you doing? Oh, just making sure this thing is good and clean.
If I walked in and the guy ever told me, like, what are your intentions with my daughter? The smart ass in me would be like, I'm probably going to fuck her.
See, Tanner, like, you don't really need the gun. Just stand up, homie.
Yeah, just raise up.
Just... Like, they walk through the doors, like, and this is my dad. He's a giant.
Yeah, see, I've got this all planned out. Like, they come in, I'm sitting down, I'm cleaning the gun. He's like, oh, he's got a gun, he's trying to threaten me. And then when they go to leave, I stand up to shake his hand, then he sees the size.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you shoot him in the back. And then look at her and go, that's the one warning.
Honestly, it's okay,
I don't tell my daughter, no kid, no boys.
You don't need the gun. Like, all he has to do is walk in, he'll look at you, I'm like, all right.
Tanner, I think noted. You know.
And then that's it.
You know, probably maybe better than anybody, maybe, that it doesn't matter what you tell a kid. If you tell your daughter no boys, that's just going to make her want to date more. People are going to do what they're going to do.
Funny enough, she gets to fighting with me and arguing with me in her 3-year-old voice, and it's hilarious. And I look at her, I go, "All right, that's it. No boys." She goes, "What?" I said, "No boys." And then she'll throw herself on the floor and then stand up and throw herself on the couch and stand up and throw herself in a chair and screaming and crying and say, "Daddy, I want boys."
I have a joke there, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going to type it in the chat. I'm going to type it in the chat, though.
No.
Hold on.
Well, all right.
Hold on. Here it comes. Tanner, that's for you.
Oh, you know what? That actually happened last week.
I imagine so, probably.
I want to bring somebody over. No.
Anyway, yes.
Oh.
So, real quick, because damn, I didn't realize it was already 30 minutes in. Jesus, this show has flown by.
We got to get to this topic.
Well, first, I do want to mention, because this is the first half is for me, the last half's for Lindsay, basically. The first half is for me and Jesse to talk about adult things, and the last half is for you and Lindsay to talk about fun things. So, let Jesse and I get the adult, boring stuff out of the way, and then we can have fun.
Yeah.
Today, Steve Bannon, former Trump advisor and Trump, like, right-hand man, was arrested and brought up on charges for fraud over a nonprofit organization that he was a part of to build a wall. I forget what the name of it is. Let me look it up real quick. It's like something like, we'll build the wall because fuck you and Mexicans or something.
It is something like just going to build the wall. Like, I don't know, or build the wall foundation or something like that.
So it was started by a former veteran named Brian Colphage. And it's called We Build the Wall. So they had it up on GoFundMe. And
yeah. Because it raised like over $1 million or something ridiculous like that.
Right. And then I forget what the reason was, but they decided to not do the GoFundMe. Instead, they did it through a nonprofit organization. They did it that way. And all of the money was refunded to the people who could then reinvest it back into it, which they did. But it was a nonprofit. They said it was 100% of the funds raised are going to go to the wall because, you know, it's all about building the wall, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it turns out...
But Mexico is going to pay for it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, maybe they got some, you know, Hispanic blood in them. I don't know. Turns out, Colphage, Steve Bannon, two other guys were taking money off of it. Colphage was actually getting paid a secret salary, whatever you want to call it, of I forget how much it was per month, and it was like a down payment of a couple hundred thousand or something like that. Bandon apparently got over $1 million from it, and they have now been charged with fraud and all that good stuff. So I didn't expect that.
They've actually been indicted now.
He pled not guilty.
I haven't seen the whole story. Okay.
Yeah, he pled not guilty today. Colphage, this is from CNN. Colphage, according to the charges, spent more than $350,000 of the donations on personal expenses, including cosmetic surgery, a luxury SUV, a golf cart, payments towards a boat, home renovations, jewelry, personal tax payments, and credit card debt. This isn't like, I guess, whenever they got, what, Kenneth Copeland, and they're like, hey, you're taking this money and you're buying jets with it and you're going on private, you know, whatevers. Because he could say, well, this is a mission. I'm going over here to talk to these people about Jesus. Therefore, it is legit. Now, this dude's paying for cosmetic surgery and jewelry, and I don't know how that helps build a wall. So,
well, he's got to look good while he's doing it.
Yeah, I've seen him. He ain't winning, and Steve Bannon especially isn't. So, what's going to happen? The maximum charge per person can go up to 20 years if they're found guilty. Now, here's what will happen: they will be found guilty. I have no doubt about it. They will either get a super small sentence because they are white and they are Republicans, or they will not get sentenced at all because Donald Trump will pardon them on his way out, hopefully, as he's being kicked out of president. But point is, I don't expect to see Steve Bannon in jail at all, because Steve Bannon is just one in a laundry list of Trump associates and former campaign workers who have either pled guilty or been found guilty of various crimes. So when Donald Trump says he's draining the swamp, I guess what he meant was he was draining the swamp and then collecting them so they would be out of the swamp. They'd be in his house now. And that house is the White House, unfortunately. Now, the other bad part about that is that a lot of the people that Trump did, you know, associate with that got convicted or found guilty and or pled guilty, a lot of them kind of had their charges overturned or were pardoned by Trump. Trump just pardoned, who was it? Just not too long ago. Who was it, Jesse? God damn it, I can't think of his name.
I don't remember. He's pardoned so many people at this point.
Roger Stone. He just pardoned Roger Stone not too long ago. So, yeah. And still, there are still people out there still that talk about how crooked Hillary was and how the Democrats and the liberals are all like corrupt and shit, and the president's own fucking men are being convicted like every other week for corruption. Why are you people so stupid? I never bring this up because of reasons, but I have to say that when me and Allie were together and I had to go to her family dinners, her parents were both incredibly Republican, her dad especially. And I had to sit there and bite my tongue and listen to that shit. And it drove me crazy. Because, you know, when it comes to politics, I am very opinionated. So when I started posting things on my Facebook right before we broke up that was a little bit more aggressive than usual towards the Republican Party and Donald Trump, that relationship between me and her parents felt very cold suddenly. We only had like two dinners after that before the breakup. And it did not feel like a warm, welcoming thing anymore. Part of me is kind of glad I don't have to deal with it now, because it's becoming very difficult for me to be polite and nice to people who are so fucking stupid. And I truly believe that if you are still defending this president and everything he does and stands for at this point, even if we were friends at one point, and maybe we can still be friends, depending on how upset you are when I say this, you are fucking stupid. Okay, that's my rant.
So my favorite part, going back to the Steve Bannon and all the, again, the fundraiser stuff, did you hear who busted them?
No.
The United States Postal Inspection Service.
That's amazing.
That's my favorite part of this whole story. USPS got him.
That made me so happy. Tell me, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, please, just let me know. Is 2020 real? Like, are we in an actual year, or am I in a fucking coma somewhere?
It's a Twilight Zone episode that hasn't ended yet. Shit.
I've often wondered the same thing, because this is craziness. And did you hear the other bit of big news that came out today about Trump that just kind of added to his tantrum?
Was it about his tax records?
It was about his tax returns.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it. I saw the headline. What was it?
He's basically, his latest bid to not turn over his tax returns, the judge has officially rejected it.
Well, Jesse,
so at this point, I don't think he has any more avenues. Like, he's got to turn it over.
Well, Jesse, he's being audited. When he's done being audited, he'll hand him over.
He's been audited for 4 years.
Oh, longer than that. Well, I guess when you're that fucking crooked, yeah, it probably takes a while to sift through all of it.
Yeah, he's taking this all the way up to the federal level to try to get this, you know, reject or try to get this appealed or whatever. And yeah, it has officially been rejected at the federal level. There's nowhere else for him to go. He's going to finally have to turn over his tax returns.
Oh, hey, Kenan Thompson ain't done going to happen.
Yeah, no, but I'm still curious about it.
Oh, man. I hate this. All right, let's stop talking about bad things. Let's get the fun things. Tonight we're talking about our five favorite rotisserie chickens that we've ever eaten in our life.
Rotisserie.
Oh. No, that's not it.
Our favorite. Can we do one more fun thing real quick before we get to the real fun thing?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
All right, so this is something I read online today, and I think I saw Asa post it too. That's really funny. There are several Trump tweets that you can just add mommy at the beginning of, and it makes it hilarious.
Oh,
for example,
Jesse, why don't you, yeah, read some, please.
Mommy, the Democrats are demanding mail-in ballots because the enthusiasm meter for slow Joe Biden is the lowest in recorded history.
It's good, but it's not as good as Harry Potter's wands.
Mommy, I stand for law and order, and I took action.
Oh,
the ones in all caps are the best ones. Let me see if I can find another good one here.
This year is just enough of them to make you just want to blow your brains out.
Mommy, but didn't she call him a racist?
Oh.
Jesus anyway, Christ. All right, that's it. We can go to the actual fun stuff now. If you want a good laugh, just go to Trump's Twitter and add mommy to the beginning of his all caps tweets. It's a pretty good, like, there's some real good ones out there.
All right, let's get to the documentaries. since this was Lindsay's topic, but Shelby is our guest again this week, I want to first send it over to Jesse Kimball.
All right, well,
now,
you know,
spoiler alert though, because I don't fake anything on the show unless we do it for a like legitimate skit. So we kind of talked a little bit about our choices beforehand. And I can verify, I already know about this, but Jesse already stole one of mine. So
he knew really?
Yeah, even though you didn't comment.
So I'm going to go ahead and admit, at first I thought maybe, you know, for sure that I wouldn't have any stolen from me or stolen from anyone. But I get a feeling maybe one of them might get stolen.
I'm
probably
one
safe
on my list that I'm worried about, but we'll see. Jesse Kimball, hit us with that first one.
So I want to preface this with the thing about me. I'm not a big documentary
preface.
Guy. I'm just not. A lot of times,
Jesse don't like learning.
No, I love learning. a lot of times, documentaries have a tendency to express bias. They have. They dramatize stuff. Like it's fine. Like they're still entertaining. They're good. I just like I'm not personally a fan. I would rather watch, like, you know, a biopic or something like that if I want a sensationalized version of the story. But that said, Tiger King is pretty great.
That's the one.
Yes. Yes. The train wreck that everyone must continue watching.
Yeah, that is one of five documentaries that I have watched in my life. So if somebody steals one of mine, then I will only have four for the night.
So...
Yeah, shame.
I will say, I told Jesse he could have it, because Tiger King was on my list originally, but he can keep it. But it was one of the things that really helped me get through a very, very tough time in my life, because Lindsay and I started watching that immediately following the fall of existence for me. And even though I slept through a lot of it, because I just...
It let you go to sleep,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, like I was so jacked up at the time that I couldn't even sleep, so it helped me fall asleep. I did start rewatching it later when I was more sound of mind and spirit, and it's just as entertaining as I assumed it would be. I've known about Joe Exotic for years. Tiger King wasn't the first time I'd heard of him.
I remember you showing me his campaign videos.
Yeah, John Oliver hit us with it a long time ago.
Yeah, so...
No,
go ahead.
I'm gonna be completely honest with y'all. I have yet to watch a single episode of that.
It's incredible. Like
it's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, because Joe Exotic, like you would assume it was a TV show. Like it was set up. Like
it is quite the rabbit
hole. It's like The Office or Parks and Rec, where you have this outlandish character, and not just him, but Carol Baskin. I forget the name of the other guy, but he's basically a cult leader. with many, many women that he's married, Jeff Lowe and his fucking psycho scummy family. Like, it's incredible. It's a train wreck of epic proportions and sad too. Like, you experience a lot of emotions watching that, but Joe Exotic himself is just one of the all-time great characters in American history. It's a shame that he's sucking Donald Trump's dick so hard trying to get out of jail. And I feel like that's the only reason he's doing it. He's trying to get out of jail.
Oh, he wants to get one of them pardons. Because Trump is throwing out pardons like Oprah.
Yeah.
Like you get a pardon, you get a pardon, you get a pardon. Like, hit Joe Exotic up.
And I don't want... I was going to say I thought that's below Joe Exotic, but it's not.
Absolutely not.
Watch the documentary.
I'm about to say, it sounds like it's pretty on par for
him. All right.
Yeah, that's the other thing about Joe Exotic. Like, you know, we talked about... I think we were recording when we were talking about it earlier. He's not the hero.
No,
like, he's not the protagonist. There's no good people in that documentary.
Nope,
they're all awful.
Other than the animals,
all those poor animals.
Let's swing it over to Shelby. Shelby, what you got?
I've got Deadliest Crashes, which is like looking into why planes crash, like the last few minutes of when it was in the air to when it hits the ground and all that stuff. Just real scary stuff.
I do. Oh god, it's gonna sound terrible. I do like watching crash videos. That sounds bad. That sounds bad.
You all over Live Leak,
Shannon. Everybody knows this about you, Live Leak, bro.
Yeah, but there's something spectacular about. And again, I don't celebrate the loss of life ever. Even my worst enemy. Well, some people definitely deserve to die, but generally, I don't celebrate or laugh at people dying. It's just something that I can't look away from. I don't know. Maybe it's part of how I cope with death, but watching plane crashes especially, there's something awe-inspiring about the magnitude of it. It's incredible to see. It's terrifying, and I'm very sad for the people that die, but it is a sight, you know?
Yeah, no, some of it's real fun to watch. Like,
fun.
Interesting.
There you go.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, that's a little bit better. Let's throw it over to Tanner. Tan Man, what you got?
So, growing up, I always wanted to have somebody out there who tried to prove religion with science. And I've always been a proponent that science and religion can live together. So there was a documentary that came out on... It was either History or Discovery Channel when I first watched it. It's called The Exodus Decoded. And James Cameron actually directed the movie. Like, archaeologist came to him. His name is Simca. Oh, God, I can never pronounce his last name. Simca... Nope, not even gonna try it. But anyway, James Cameron hosts and directs it, and it actually gives scientific evidence of the Exodus, but not as it happens in the Bible, as it would possibly happen in real life. Scientific explanation of the parting of the Reed Sea, not the Red Sea. From that all the way down to the plagues and how they could all have scientifically happened at that time. It's a very interesting documentary. I make a lot of friends watch it, and they always come away kind of surprised and shocked at how good it was.
I'm going to be honest with you, Tanner. I thought you said Exorcist. So the entire time I thought you were talking about The Exorcist.
Not Exorcist.
I want to apologize to you. Exodus. Tanner, can they watch that anywhere?
I don't think it's in on any streaming services right now. Occasionally... it gets put up in its entirety on YouTube.
Okay, so we are advocating for people to pirate things. Okay, let's go to Lindsay. Lindsay.
So, this was the newest one on my list because I literally finished watching it before we started recording. It's the documentary Howard on Disney Plus. It's about Howard Ashman. Without prompting, do any of you know who that is?
Yes. Nope.
No.
In actuality, are you pulling my move?
What's your move?
Pretending I know when I don't, and then you get mad at me.
Howard Ashman was an American playwright and lyricist.
Yes,
he collaborated with Alan Menken on several works, and is most widely known for several.
And you've already got it pulled up, you jerk. But
I heard
yes.
You typing.
Yes.
But one of the things I learned on there that I didn't know is he's the one who wrote and directed the musical version of Little Shop of Horrors.
I didn't know that either. You know, I was in that. I mean,
know.
Not the movie, but I was in a college play.
You were in a production, yes,
which
of
you
it.
Have a video of.
I of do. Me and on VHS.
My ex-girlfriend Vino, after she broke up with me, and I had to go perform. That was fun. All right.
So I'm talking about that, though, real quick. It just reminds me that my wife is on a hunt to find the video of me in my junior school musical, which happened to be High School Musical. So,
ouch.
What did you, what did you play? The building? Because you're so tall and...
You know, that hurt a little bit.
No! I'm just saying, you're such a giant Muppet of a man. That's not to be ashamed of. Or maybe...
No, he's a manly Muppet.
I'm not a man, I'm a Muppet.
Or you're a very manly Muppet. It's one or the other.
He's very a very manly Muppet.
So...
Okay, Shannon, your turn.
My first one is The American Nightmare. All right, let's swing it over to Jesse.
No,
American Nightmare.
I know that title. What is that one about?
It's a 2000 documentary. It's basically a horror documentary. It takes a bunch of really classic directors and creators who talk about the influences the social times had on horror films and how horror films kind of reflected the time periods they were in. It's really, really good. I saw it on Netflix years ago. I don't know if it's still available on Netflix, but you know they're talking to people like Wes Craven, Cronenberg, Landis, Romero. It's like a who's who of influences on my life, talking about you know just the political, the social stuff of those time periods, and how the movies kind of reflected that. So it's a fascinating documentary if you're a horror fan or if you want to learn more about history. I mean, it goes hand in hand. It's very, very cool. I don't think it's on Netflix anymore, but if you could track it down, it's well worth it. So,
okay.
You did watch it with me, by the way.
That's probably why it stuck out in my head.
And it's, if I remember correctly, it's also really long.
Yeah.
It is not. It's only 75 minutes. Never mind. Jesse.
My next one is Making a Murderer on Netflix.
That guy was a piece of shit.
Which one?
Probably all of them, but especially the guy. So the guy that they portrayed as the victim of all this, he may have been a victim of it in a way, but he was also a piece of shit and probably did the things that he said he did.
See, I don't think that he murdered who they said he murdered. I do think that he was set up, and the police like were all in on just getting him convicted and everything to close the case. But yeah, no, like he's still kind of a piece of shit.
I think he absolutely did murder that woman. I think he didn't do the thing that they said he did before that he was convicted of originally, and I think it was his nephew that was. Convicted with him and kind of coerced into his confession. I think they railroaded him.
Oh, but, they absolutely railroaded him. That poor sweet idiot.
Right. but Stephen Avery, who it was about, yeah, that dude was just a fucking waste of space and of human flesh.
Yeah,
so
it's a really interesting documentary on Netflix for anybody that hasn't watched it. They didn't jump in on that craze when it was going. It briefly got me into the, like a bunch of the true crime stuff and like these unsolved mysteries and stuff like that. That I mean, I really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, trying to like get in with a group of people, you're trying to figure out what happened and all this other stuff, like listening to the theories and everything else. But yeah, there were a bunch of rednecks in Michigan, I think, if I remember right.
I'm looking it up for you.
Michigan or Minnesota.
Wisconsin.
I knew it was one of those northern states up there. But, yeah, it's just a bunch of shitty people being shitty, and then, like, a really shitty person got a real shit hand. And that's kind of what it's about. It's interesting, though. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I tell you, hearing you talk about that, you know who I feel really bad for? Is
who's that?
I Maria. She would be jumping all over this. She is such a... loves documentaries, loves especially crime documentaries. If she's listening right now, she's probably foaming at the mouth, and I feel bad about that. Shelby, what about you?
Are you also
foaming at the mouth right now?
Yeah.
yeah. I can't wait for her to go.
Me.
The next one I have is When a Drug Trial Goes Wrong. It's one of the actually pretty recent... It's an emergency at a hospital in Britain where they are testing these, I think it's leukemia drugs, and it just basically everything is a train wreck. And it kind of shows what happens when you start a trial too soon.
That just, I don't know why the title just made me think of those old Fox shows in the 90s, you know, when elephants attack, when, you know, that kind of stuff. Where did you see it on?
I saw it on YouTube. Where did under you the real see it stories.
On? Jesus Christ. Okay, so it's on YouTube if people want to check it out.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Oh, you know, I just thought about something. No, I don't want to spoil it. I'll save it for the end. Shelby, remind me. I have a question for you at the end, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Jesse, remind her to remind me. All right.
Let's do my best.
Swing it over to Tanner.
So, as many people on the show, many listeners of the show know, and, you know, fellow people on the show, I'm a huge fan of Scott Walter.
So much so he's been on the show twice. Heidi, hold there.
I thought that was a horn. I thought it was a horn going off for a second.
That was just me going, what? And also yawning.
Yeah, you held it out. You hit that right tone. I thought there was a missile coming or something.
See, I was getting like the Tarzan swing noise going on.
Yeah, sorry. I started the one and then started yawning immediately into it. And that was just.
That's where the siren came in. Cool. So. My first exposure to Scott Walter was in a documentary on History Channel called Holy Grail in America. It is a fascinating documentary. Some of the stuff in there, even he admits, was like, it was just kind of evidence that was thrown out there. You know, since then I've researched it and it's not really all there is to it. But basically it's just a documentary that details a Scandinavian trip to America. Basically 100 years, actually about 30 years before Columbus. So, exactly 130 years now I'm looking at the dates. So it's just interesting. It's definitely a cool show to check out. That one you can actually find on History Channel.
Nice.
Along with many of his other works, including Templar Treasures, the Pirate Treasure of the Templars or something like that, which I just recently discovered, so.
Well, I'm going to say this now, Tanner. There's a documentary that if it's not on your list, it may be your last show. That's all I'm going to say.
I've
got it loaded up. I'm not going to send it to you. I hear your whole list.
Okay, can I get like some kind of
you
hint?
Cannot. All right.
Okay.
Let's move it over to Lindsay.
You're so vague. I am going to continue with my Disney trend and go with Waking Sleeping Beauty. It's a documentary from 2009 from producer Don Hahn, he's also a Disney animator. It basically covers the history of the animation department of Disney from 1984 to 1994 when the Disney Renaissance was beginning. So you get all of the behind-the-scenes mess of them dealing with Jeffrey Katzenberg and Michael Eisner and Steve Jobs and just the big mix of all of that power in entertainment and them trying to find the direction of the studio and then what the animators were going through while they were creating these amazing pieces of art. And it's a really good inside look, but as someone with an animation degree, as awesome as it all was, it was also super depressing and just hit home really hard. It is on Disney Plus, and anyone that has an interest in animation or Disney in general, even though I said it's kind of depressing, it's worth a watch just to see what these people went through that created these amazing pieces of work that all of us grew up with.
Not all of us.
Okay, all of us but Shannon, because he was never a child.
Jesus!
He came out of the womb 45.
I came out with a cup of coffee and a newspaper, and I was like, what's my stock options?
Shannon's never had
stock. Shannon constantly saying, I came out of the womb 7 foot tall.
All right, let's swing it back over to Shannon. Shannon, what's your next one? Well, my next one is Eli Roth's History of Horror. I know you're going to hear a couple of horror things on here because that's generally what I'm interested in the most.
I'm getting a little scared now.
History of Horror is on Shudder. And it's really great documentary where Eli Roth goes over different kind of topics of horror, like styles of horror or monsters and stuff like that. And he sits down and he talks with, again, actors, people in the field. It's really, really good. And just in general, if you like horror and you're not subscribed to Shudder, what are you doing with your life? It's like $5 a month, and it's just a wealth of entertainment if you like scary stuff like I do. But yeah, Eli Roth's not somebody that I generally like very much. I liked Cabin Fever.
He has his moments.
Well, I loved Cabin Fever, the first one. I thought it was fun. But I think that may be the only Eli Roth film that I ever liked. he also
he's because he's tied to several documentaries, but and most of my life.
He's a good documentary filmmaker. His movies, I don't know. He did Hostel, and I was never a big fan of that, but it's whatever.
The Hostel is atrocious.
But yeah, History of Horror, really, really good. It's not just one thing. It's set in the different episodes, each one with a different topic, but check it out for sure. And since we're running low on time, let's just give small synopsis of it. Let's go back to Jesse.
Oh, my next one is Super Size Me.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I know that
yeah,
one.
That's, I watched that one in high school, back in health class. And it's, for those that haven't seen it, it's about a guy who decides to see how unhealthy he would be if he only ate McDonald's for every meal for, what was it, a month, I think?
A month,
or 2 months?
Yeah,
30 days.
Like
30 days.
So 30 days, all he ate was McDonald's. And would you believe it, he was very unhealthy at the end of the 30 days.
Yes.
No shit.
That was one of those, like, nobody was asking that question.
So, I know we said we're going to go fast and move on, but I do want to mention that they spoofed that on Whitest Kids You Know, where where the guy decided to just, like, drink alcohol for 30 days instead of eating, and then he calls, like, the company and is like, why'd you tell me to do this? And they're like, we didn't tell you to do it. This is a stupid idea.
I remember that
one.
Very
funny. All right, Shelby, round three.
Unit 731, it's a Japanese experimentation type deal where they used a whole bunch of crazy diseases on people just to see what it would do.
Oh my god, I love Unit 731. I've watched two documentaries on it. I think I watched that one. I mean, this is one of the worst things in history. They were doing stuff to people that was like horror movie level of terrible.
This where they were like taking the arms and legs off and reattaching them in the opposite
they
places.
They were purposely giving people gangrene and stuff like that to see what would happen. They did vivisections. I mean, it was god awful. And what happened to the people that did it? Well, in case you're curious, spoiler alert, when America invaded it and won and all that, they gave immunity to the doctors in exchange for the information that they got. So,
yeah, because it's one of those
go
like,
America.
Things, like it was
shitty people are
it
shitty.
Was super awful. Like it was such a terrible thing. But they actually did make several significant medical advances from that information.
Yeah, that
so
made it worth
some
it.
Good came out of it. But boy, was that bad.
But thousands of people lost their lives for that.
Yeah. No, yeah, like those people very much deserve to get like the Inglorious Bastards end.
Yeah. And I believe a lot of the people that were prisoners, they were like Chinese prisoners. I mean, it was disgusting. Yeah. Absolutely disgusting. So I like you, Shelby. I don't know if I've said that before. Let's go over to Tanner. Tanner, what's next?
I'm trying to decide if I want to steal one from you.
Oh, I bet I know which one it is. If you steal one from me, I will come down upon you with the wrath of heavens, just so you know.
Nightmares in Red, White, and Blue.
Oh, I actually don't have that one. Take it.
I am shocked as hell. I think this originally came out on Netflix, didn't it?
Yes.
But yeah, it's a great documentary about slasher films, just in general. They cover the history of all the famous series, at least.
I do like it, but you know me, I'm not as big of slashers as you are.
I mean, it goes into some... Because I know... one of the movies we've watched recently was actually talked about on there, like in the last couple of years, and I cannot remember which one it was. I need to go back and watch this documentary again because I enjoy it.
But I don't think it's on there anymore.
I'm sure it might be on Shudder.
Yeah, that's true. Shudder gets a lot of good ones. All right, Lindsay, what do you got?
I am Big Bird, the Carol Spinney story. It's just another biography of a puppeteer that didn't really put himself out there until this documentary came out. And he basically was the puppeteer for Big Bird until about 3 or 4 years ago. And it's a really good documentary.
I remember you being very excited about that one.
I was. I wanted to go see it in the theater, but it wasn't feasible to go do it. So I ended up spending the $7 on Amazon to rent it. And I was freaking bawling by the end of it.
We also almost got to meet Carol Spinney.
I know. And then he passed away.
Yikes.
The convention that we would have went to last fall, he was at, and he passed away a month or so after that.
That got dark.
Yep.
I didn't mean for it to get dark.
It's all right.
I'm real bummed we couldn't go to that one. But.
All right. I'm going to bring it up on my next one. The original Ghost Adventures documentary.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yep. this one aired on Sci-Fi, surprisingly, considering that they had Ghost Hunters. But it's basically Zach and Nick were just doing
and Aaron.
Well, yeah, but Aaron wasn't part of the group. He was just their cameraman that got hired.
He was just cameraman,
and he ended up becoming a permanent part of the group after it. And of course, this documentary is what launched their TV career into Ghost Adventures, the TV show. And I know they get a lot of shit for being Scooby Douche in the gang, Jesse, but
that first documentary,
Douche in the gang,
life changing.
The first documentary is incredible. It has some of the best evidence you'll ever see, including the brick that flies towards them. That was on all the news shows. I mean, it was really, really cool. If you're interested in paranormal documentaries, you want to see what ghost hunting is like before they turned like super. You can tell they're not really acting in this one. This one feels way more organic and genuine. But I don't.
Yeah, because they look like they have no idea what they're doing. They don't have any of the high tech quote unquote equipment that they have on the show. They just go in there with recorders and cameras and have fun.
If you call that fun, yes.
Until the brick flies. Once the brick flies, shit's over. It's just go home.
Jesse, we got two left. What's the next one?
My next one is How It's Made.
Ooh, that's a fun show.
I really, really like that show. It's always been super interesting to me, if for no other reason than the manufacturing stuff. It's satisfying to watch.
And they pick some, like, super random things, too.
No, it's really, really fun. I enjoy that show quite a bit.
Bob, also a big, big fan of that show. I watched many an episode with him, and I don't know why, because I find that stuff incredibly boring. Interesting, but boring. But he loved the shit out of that shit. Anyway. Shelby.
The Tokai Mora criticality incident, it's one of the nuclear facilities that went down and the unfortunate series of events that led to the doctors in Japan keeping a couple of the victims alive for upwards of 83 days.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Good Lord.
Japan is just terrible.
Where did you see that one at? We apologize for Tanner Calvert's racism.
I say that in jest.
I know, I'm kidding. Where'd you see that one at? I'm curious.
All of these are going to be on YouTube because I can just get free documentaries from there, but YouTube.
Very good. Tanner.
Okay, I'm still kind of curious which one you say you're going to disown me if I don't say it. But my next pick, I'm going to go with what is called The Shape Lives, 40 Years of Halloween. It's a documentary about the entire Halloween franchise.
In fact, he didn't say disown you. He just said this would be your last episode.
Yeah, it should be your last episode of the podcast.
That's fine.
Look.
No, we can't have that. We need him for Tuesdays.
Everyone's time comes to an end, Tanner. All good things end eventually.
Eventually.
So it's a documentary about the shape.
The Halloween franchise, yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Who's next? Lindsay.
My next one I have actually watched several times because I'm a dork and I like music. The Boys, the Sherman Brothers story. It's about the two musicians that were responsible for most of the music out of Disney in the 1960s and early 70s. They basically wrote the entire soundtrack for Mary Poppins and a bunch of the music that's in the Disneyland park.
Huh. A lot of Disney on yours.
I like Disney. I can't help it. I have a small obsession. They are also the ones that you can blame for the It's a Small World song.
I do.
Oh, so they're the ones.
I do blame them for that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. The younger brother is still around. He actually has a cameo at the end of Christopher Robin. He's the gentleman playing the piano on the beach while everyone's at holiday.
They have to be, like, what, 90 at this point?
Well, the older brother has passed away already, but yeah, he's getting up there, definitely.
Jesus, Lindsay, can we not talk about death on every one of your documentaries?
I'm sorry, they're old. It happens.
My next one.
I'm sorry.
They're all natural causes.
All right, Shannon, let's hear it.
This one will definitely bring it up. My next one is Video Games the Movie.
What?
Do you guys not watch Video Games the Movie?
No.
Is the Zach Braff documentary about video games? Wow.
No.
I'm a little shocked. Jesse, did you watch it?
This is the first time Jesse's heard about it.
Holy shit. I'm going to look it up and make sure it exists.
Did you say Zach Braff?
Yeah, Zach Braff. Because
I like Zach Braff a lot.
Because what I'm looking up here says Sean Astin.
Well, look to the right because mine says Sean Astin and then Zach Braff.
I just said Sean Astin.
Also, I did not know it was produced by Cliff Bleszinski. Cliffy B. But yeah, Cliffy, it's a really good it's a documentary about video games. I don't know what else to tell you. There's nothing else I can say to sell you. If you like video games, go watch it. And there it is. All right, last round. And Tanner, you better get it right. Let's start with Jesse.
All right, my favorite documentary of all time is about a woman that is a she's the assistant parks director in a small town in Indiana. Her name is Leslie Knope, and her friends.
No.
The documentary is called Parks and Recreation.
I don't think that counts.
It doesn't. Oh, but that's
my next
funny.
Pick. I'm picking The Office.
You pick The Office, and you won't be picking this show anymore.
Oh yeah, here's the thing. I've only ever watched 4 documentaries, and how it's made is loose. Loosely fits that definition. So, yeah. Parks and Rec is my final pick.
It fits the definition a hell of a lot better than Parks and Rec.
I don't disagree. But I love Parks and Rec.
I'll give you a pass on this one, but I'm not happy. Shelby?
Sort of counts.
I said Shelby.
Oh, I didn't hear you say Shelby.
I didn't hear it either. my last one is another true crime story. It's called The Nightmare Nurse, or The Angel of Death. She was known for being a hero for the longest time until everyone figured out that she was actually the one killing people.
I think I remember the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember the details of it, but I think I remember the story.
She just went around shoving needles in people and then was there miraculously to save them afterwards.
Yeah, and I remember...
Oh, I have heard this story, yes.
I've heard it because they did a Law & Order episode based on it, and it made me interested in the real story. Because, of course, if it's a like crime thing, Law & Order has definitely done an episode based on it. Thanks, Speedweed.
Speedweed.
Yep.
Tanner, it's up to you, buddy. What do you got? I'm getting it ready in the chat. The moment he says it's not this one, we'll all shame him. Go ahead, Tanner.
What was that?
What was that?
Well, just, you know, my next pick. It'll show up in recording, believe me. My next pick is called His Name Was Jason, 30 Years of Friday the 13th.
Boom!
Oh.
That's the one. I knew it.
That's all the right. One.
That'll work.
So
Tanner,
and there's two versions
to
of this. There's two versions of this one. You can watch the one that's an hour and a half long. Or you can get on Shudder and watch the one that's like 3.5 hours
yeah,
long.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
I got through about half of it before I tapped out. I'm like, I just can't do it anymore. It's so long.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I
was worried. I was worried you were going to put that on your list. So I'm happy you did.
Yeah. You know, you should know better.
I should, but it's 2020, man. I don't know anything anymore. Lindsay, last one.
Batman and Bill.
Oh, that's...
It's about Bill Finger getting credit for helping create Batman.
It took so long for him to actually get credit for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I always thought it was just Bob Kane.
Yep, and it is still up on Hulu.
Okay. My very last one is probably my favorite documentary of all time, and it's a must-watch if you're a wrestling fan. It's called Beyond the Mat. It is a documentary on... It's kind of split into three different parts. Jake the Snake Roberts, Mick Foley, and New Jack, of all people, has a big part in it. And it's this director who's just covering kind of their lives. He gets a real in-depth look at the WWE, which the WWE later regretted because it didn't really make them look great.
It didn't like make them look good at all.
No, and
it's real hard to make the WWE look good in behind the scenes.
Roger.
No, this is bad.
Roger Ebert famously loved it, which really surprised me, and it kind of gave him a better understanding that even though professional wrestling is scripted, it's still a contact sport, and it still takes a lot of work and talent to do this. The saddest part about the documentary, of course, is the well-publicized story of Jake the Snake Roberts and his descent from being a WWE star to being kind of a... If you've ever seen the movie The Wrestler, it's kind of that. But with way more,
it's 100% that.
But with way more drugs, because Jake, yeah. You know, they talked to indie promoters who said, you know, we had to score Jake cocaine before he would do our show. It's also the story of him trying to reconnect with his daughter. I mean, it's incredibly sad. But
I wish they'd come back and do just like a little short thing just to show where he's at in life now, because the man's doing amazing.
Well, they did another documentary, which our old friend Louis Benson is actually on, called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, which I believe that is on Netflix, I want to say, or Hulu.
One of those two.
But it's about DDP and how DDP saved Jake's life and his road to recovery, which Jake is now on AEW in a pretty big role. So, yeah.
And Scott Hall.
What's that?
And Scott Hall.
And Scott Hall. That's absolutely right. He helped both of them. DDP is kind of an angel when it comes to wrestlers. But yeah, Beyond the Mat, really, really good. It's like the quintessential wrestling documentary. If you have any interest in wrestling at all, or if you kind of wonder what it's about beyond the mat, definitely check it out. All right. Well, I like that one. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. We're going to get out of here. We got stuff to do and pizzas to cook. We'll be back tomorrow, of course, with the with Horse Time is what Hunter and I are thinking about renaming the show. But
I don't like that.
We're not. It's kind of like a B Sharps type scenario, though. It's like it's funny at first, but the more you think about it, the less funny it gets. We don't want to. We don't want to beat a dead horse. Time, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Jesus Christ! Just end the show.
Otherwise known as the legendary PZ85 group chat for happiness or something like that. We'll be back tomorrow with that.
Holy shit!
Was that right? Mostly.
No, that was 100% right.
Oh, well, all right. Kudos to me. I can go have another hit of heroin now. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with the show. For myself and Jesse and Shelby and Lindsay and Tanner and little Timmy, thank you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Later.